Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Praise the Lord. You know, the most important revelation of this end time is that you are not your own. Praise the Lord. Everything in your life, you are just a steward of it. Even your very life itself, you are a steward of the days that you live on this earth. And you are going to have to give account to them when you stand before the person who gave them to you. Praise the Lord. So every day has to be accounted for as a steward. And not just every day, everything. Okay? Everything in your life, you have to understand that God has given you stewardship over it. You know, the true meaning of a kingdom, in a kingdom, there actually isn't any ownership. There's just stewardship. Amen? So, and the stewardship can be taken and can be given. So you see, when you dwell in a kingdom, not in a democracy. Now, where we dwell in the kingdom of God, God can give you stewardship over anything at any time and for any reason. He doesn't need to account to anybody. But he can also take it away without the need of accounting to anybody. And now, when you understand that everything that you have, you are just a steward of, that is the beginning, actually, of maturity. Amen? In all things, for instance, even in giving, you have a certain amount of money, and in your mind you have it, because you are not yet a steward. So you do what you're supposed to do. You take off your tithe, take off your partnership, and the rest is yours. And of course, we've been through that. But now when you mature to stewardship, all of it is for the Lord, including you. Amen? And that's how kingdoms actually operate. And in times of kingdoms past, everything, and even the earthly kingdoms, if the king desires what you have, you are obligated to give it to him joyfully. Amen? So if he comes and sees your wife is very beautiful and he decides he wants her for himself, you cannot stand in his way. You actually package a whole package of good things and send her with gifts. To what? To him. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's why you don't serve earthly kings, because our heavenly king is not going to be interested in our wife. Yeah, praise the Lord. In any case, he already has, but you understand what I'm saying. But that's how kingdoms were before. Eh? But now, if you really want to get the benefit of the kingdom, and now, when you give her actually, or give the king what he wants, do you know that in the way the earthly kingdoms work, the king has to give you something better than what you've given him? Do you understand that? Now, the king has to give you something better. Otherwise, the statement is that you are greater than him. So you see, even in the old kingdoms, even in the Bible, there would be a competition of who can give more. The person who can give more is the greater. So you see, Queen Sheba comes, and she comes with whole loads of camel of goods and spices and beautiful things from Ethiopia, and brings to Solomon. And then she presents them to him. And then Solomon says, "Oh, this is good." But now when she's going, Solomon gets gold and silver, not spices. He gets loads of gold and water and shows her, "I am superior to you because I received your things, but I am giving you much better." You see, eh? And that's where it says her heart was, you know? Eh. Now, if Solomon gave her less than what she gave him, the message has been given. Praise the Lord. But now Solomon knew that I've seen what you've brought. This is what you've brought. Eh? Okay, that's good. It's like these people from the West when they are, you know, when they are injured. Right, each one tries to outdo the other. Eh? Now, in this kingdom of God,
everything you give. They are the king. You know you're a king. Okay? But now the King of Kings has to outdo you. You understand? If it is given with the right spirit. He has to. That's how it is. He has to show you that he's, you know? So if he asks for something, it's because he knows you cannot beat him. So he says, I want your car. Then you say, but Lord, my car, I need my car. But he knows what he has in store for you, and you cannot beat him. So you bring your car primo and give it to him. And then you realize that if there's any such thing as competition, he has to do better than what you've done. Praise the Lord. Anyway, now, the word of the Lord says, first of all, I want us to understand one thing. We are still going back to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, about fighting the good fight of faith. Amen? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, okay? Which you were also called and confessed, the good confession. Praise the Lord. Now, when you're fighting, the presupposition here is that everybody is fighting. At every stage of your life, you are fighting. There is no time in your life when you are not fighting. Okay? And that's just the way it is. Now, when you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, start from verse 3, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war, or we do not fight according to the flesh. Amen? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Now, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God. And what do? They pull down strongholds. Now, for the most part, of course, the church, when it hears strongholds, they get ready to cast out demons. Eh? And that's how it is, and that's how somehow the devil wants it to be. You cast out demons and so on. But actually, you don't realize that the stronghold is not out there to be cast out. The next verse 5 says, casting down arguments. Now, casting down arguments. Now, I want you to know that at every one time, there is an argument going on within you. Okay? And it's going on between your carnal mind and your spiritual mind. And whoever wins that argument, we shall see the results in your life. Amen? So now, when you see somebody who is living out a certain reality, let's say they are living in the fullness of the blessing of God, it's because they won the argument. Because when you start it, the carnal mind has very strong opinions which have been formed over all the years you've been alive. I mean, formed through this, through that, through doctrines, through things you study and so on. And now you're trying to supplant that knowledge with a different argument. And now there is a big, serious argument going on between you. Is this what, does this work? Do I get rich by saving? Do I get rich by giving? Do I do this? Now, the argument goes on and becomes very intense. But when you see somebody living the life that you want in the Lord, you know they won the argument. Okay? Now, for you, might still be in the argument phase, and that actually is okay, because sometimes the arguments are not won instantly. Okay? But you have to keep there and make sure you, at no one stage do you give up, because there are so many people who already gave up. So many people who gave up. Amen? So let's say, you know them, there are even simple things like speaking in tongues. You find somebody who says, I tried, and I failed. He lost the argument. But if he had continued arguing, he was going to win the argument. And that was going to become a reality in their life. He had continued making a case for prosperity and wealth and blessing from the scripture against everything else, all the other things that have been a part of your upbringing. You know, I saw a meme of some man saying that after 30, I am from a poor background, no longer counts. Now you are the background. Now, so there is a certain time you in the Lord where you cannot give us excuses of where you've come from. By now, you are supposed to be manifesting certain results. And you are supposed to be presenting arguments. And now I want you to know that the casting down of strongholds, actually, arguments, and they are very, very compelling, you know, very powerful. For some people, the arguments are as simple as the devil will just come and get you offended by something. Something small offends you. You say, but how could he do this? I don't know what. How can someone like this do this? He calls himself a man of God and you're finished. He doesn't even have to present scripture. Okay? Now, others, he might come, depending on where you are, a bit tactfully. Because maybe he thinks that you know better than just being offended and you are beyond the childishness of being offended by everything. This offends me, so I'm gone. This offends me, and then you go moving from place to place to place. Okay? And sometimes, you know, I was listening to a man of God who said, somebody wrote him a letter and said, you know, I came here, I expected this now. What? I've not seen what? I've gone. Then the man of God said that, please go, and if you find a place where there are no such issues, call me. I want to come and see where that place is. Because everywhere there are people, there will be issues. You see, eh? Because you're not perfect people. You're there. But you're children of God. So now, now if somebody comes and their work is to point out what is wrong, I can assure you, you'll find a lot of subject matter of what is wrong. It's there. You don't even have to dig deep. It is there. Some of you have characters which are how, but you're children of God. So now, if you can still be offended by those things, the devil doesn't even have to disturb you. He just points out something that offends you, and then you go in the direction of the offense, and that's the end of your life, of like pursuing, you know, your godly life. Then after that, you go going from offended. And I know people like that who end up actually out of church. I know a man was some rich man who eventually ended up in Church of Uganda. He was very, very born again, fire splitting an atom, speaking in tongues of angels. But now he's in Church of Uganda. Why? Can you imagine this pastor did this? Can you imagine this pastor did this? Can you imagine this pastor did this? But the devil has you. But now when he came to Jesus, he knew what he was dealing with. So he had to come with scripture. So even Jesus had to contend. Now he comes with scripture. Soon after, a dove falls down and comes, and a voice declares that this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Now, the next event is Jesus goes into the desert and the devil is saying, if you are a son of God. Now, you know, he's starting an argument, okay? If you're a son of God, if you are the son of God, okay? Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, here is it. The purpose of Jesus going into the wilderness was to be tempted of the devil. Because you cannot just end up in a place and you're serving when you've not gone through this fire. So actually, God uses the devil sometimes as some kind of furnace to strengthen your faith. I've told you this before. Then he says, if you are the son of God. Now, every one time, he's telling him scripture. If you are the son of God. Then the next time, if you are the son of God, throw yourself down. Then the next time, bow down and worship me. And all the times, Jesus wins the argument with scripture. Okay? And that's it. He doesn't cast the devil away. He wins the argument with scripture. Now, these arguments which are going on in your head are actually supposed to be won by scripture. And you don't even need to know the whole scripture. You just need to know one and repeat it. When the devil comes and you start feeling doubt, just repeat the scripture. I remember there's some lady who wrote and said that she was believing God. I don't know what for. Anyhow, so she thinks she has overcome, then the devil comes, and now you are inundated with doubt and with fear and everything. It's going to fall apart. And there is now, that's just a demonic attack. Okay? Now, the lady said she would repeat the scripture. I think it was healing. The lady said she would repeat the scripture, which she had chosen for healing, and repeat it and repeat it. But somehow she was getting discouraged because she repeats the scripture. There is some kind of respite for a few minutes. Then it comes back again. Now it comes back stronger. Then she repeats the scripture. Then there is a respite. Then it comes back stronger. So now she was getting discouraged. And now you know that the Spirit of God leads us into triumph. Amen? So now she dreamt. She had a dream.
I think a vision. And then she saw what was exactly happening. How all these demons would come and start repeating in her face, "You're going to die, you're going to die." Then she would repeat a scripture. Then she said, when she said the scripture, in the spirit she actually got a sword and was cutting them. And you know the sword of the spirit is the word of God. Eh? And it's not just an idle saying. Eh? Now God was showing her, "You're winning, don't give up. You are in the process of actually destroying that." But you see, the devil wants to come and bombard you with something, and you actually believe that's the way it was. For instance, the way even in the world, have you seen the way they use social media to bombard people with certain knowledge until people actually are scared to even believe the truth? For instance, the whole stand with Palestine, what and all that, which is mostly done by Iranian bots. You know, people don't understand, Iran has the biggest propaganda machinery. Now, any celebrity would come and say, "Stand with Israel," Iranian bots, who you think are people, but are just bots. You know what bots are, eh? They come and abuse you, you're stupid, you're what? And most people cower away and say, no, now I stand with Palestine. You know, and you see, because they prey on people's fear. But that's how the devil is. He comes with bots, and he's trying to make you think that you are not in control of that argument. But the reality is that there is an argument, and you're winning, and you're in control of it. And if you win, you are going to live the life. You understand? And you can look around, and you'll see people who have won that argument, and for them, they're enjoying their life. Because they were also attacked, they also resisted, and then the devil fled. And now, they are living the life that he did not want them to. Now, it says, casting down arguments. Okay? Now, some of those arguments come in. You know, there are people who are really good at arguing everything. Eh? And they argue about everything. Okay? And especially in the church. They never subject themselves to the result test. They only argue. Because you see, the first thing that happens when people are going to grow in the Lord is they understand that you have to take stock of your life. See, since I went here, how have I been? Am I improving? Am I growing spiritually, materially, in my blessing? So that you are in control. You don't just do things. Then there are these people. I remember when I started my show on Spirit FM. Now, it took about 3 months for people to get to know about it and became popular. Now, when it becomes popular, you know what happens. There was somebody there who had just learned the grace message. So he tells me, "You are supposed to be teaching grace." Then I say, "Why don't you teach it to you, since you seem to know it a lot?" Then he says that, "You're teaching end time, where is Christ in all of that?" But what's wrong with people? If you want grace, you go and listen to grace. But he wants to listen to you and to shape you in what he has just learned. You know how people, you know children, eh? And actually that's the way it is. And even children, that's how they behave. Okay? Like when they've just learned something, there's nothing else that matters, you know? What, you know, and some of you are parents, eh? You know that when children get around two, close to two, they start falling in love with the word no. Huh? Everything is no, no, no. Without even thinking. Eh? Like anything, they just say no. Now, the other day, my son, who hasn't even made two, he's about a month from two. He even stepped it up a gear. He said, "Never." Now he said no. You see? Now for him, he's fascinated with the word no, because that's the age at which children start getting to terms with their will, that they can say yes or no. But somehow no seems to be more attractive. Eh? So now, then there's one now who is a big man, who they even, I remember when he was young, he went behind the house and the maid found him there rehearsing. Eh? How is he going to say no to anything? So then he went there, and now he was behind the house saying, "Ninza kuwa jiranti, nayanga, nayanga, nayanga." Then he said, "Now, nobody has told you anything." Eh? But he's already rehearsing. Now, even in the spirit, that's how children are. Eh? When they've learned grace, now everything. So I'm talking about Jesus is coming. Then he says, "Where is Christ in all of that?" I say, "He's the one who is coming." Eh? My point is, people want to get into an argument. Eh? Then there was another one who is a
Branhamite. They love arguments. And by the way, I also love arguments. But I love them not in this way. Because Paul warns Timothy and says that beware of those arguments because they lead to more ungodliness. But now, I love arguments when it comes to things like football. Eh? Now, there was a friend of mine who I've never seen somebody who loves a good argument like him. Now, when you would see me, he's a football guy. Then he would tell me, first seat, I am buying for you dinner. But now he wants to argue. And like, when he's arguing, you can see he's enjoying himself. He's like, then he says, Kati kwesiku tonyana choma nyi sirika what? Then now, then I would be laughing, then we argue. Then one day one friend of mine said, I thought you were going to fight. I said, fight? No. We are just having a nice time. Now the other guy, when I would stand and say I have to go, he says, but won't get a coffee. Because he's enjoying the argument. There are people who are like that. But you see, they're on the good outside of things of God. Because when you're building something and you really are trying to win the argument, like I remember when I was building the argument of the blessing of God, walking in the blessing of God and so on, and you're a bit shaky. Your points are not very, something small can shake you. Somebody comes with something small and you can actually get off the mulamwa. So, and many people are presented like that. Somebody comes and says, but you, why don't you do this? Even some relatives, they come and say, but okay now, but what if something happens? What if, now the thing is, of course, you can't tell me that now. But that time, somebody will come and tell you that and it actually shakes you. Because you're in the process of trying to build your points, you know, in this debate. And the devil can come using people and come and plant something and you start doubting yourself and you get off. But now it says the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God for casting down arguments. Don't let that argument take root. Answer it with the word of God. And you see, even the devil employs that. Have you ever seen these people? For instance, I had that in COVID, where I would tell people, be careful, don't take that vaccine. And what? You're a conspiracy theorist. You show him. Conspiracy theorist. Anything you say, he has one answer. Now, if only we were like that, you are going to die, by his stripes I'm healed. Then the devil comes with a good argument, just one scripture, by his stripes I'm healed. And you keep on saying it, and you annoy him the way those people can be annoying. Then some of them took the vaccine and now some of them are crying to me because they're having all sorts of issues. And now there's one who even told me, if you don't want to be vaccinated, you leave other people who want to be vaccinated. Why are you doing what? Now he's the one who sends me stories about people who are vaccinated and are having issues. I just hope, I've never had the guts to ask him if he went ahead and did it, because it can be not a good question. But they come around eventually. But you see, when you stick to your thing in the spirit, remove all arguments, okay? Now you see the arguments which are being made about support Palestine. You know, women and children, what? Women and children, all. Okay? Okay, women and children, nobody wants anybody to die. But they are going to die, amen? You know, some people think that the God who one time went and told the children of Israel that annihilate everybody, don't even leave children, don't even leave animals. You remember that?
Yes.
You think he's a different God? Not that he's doing it now, but my point is that there are certain things where you have to accept the judgment of God. Because he doesn't just judge. It's not unrighteous judgment. He takes his time, gives people an opportunity to repent, does all sorts of things. By the time the judgment is done, like, all avenues of appeal have been exhausted. You think your justice system is more righteous than the justice system of God? You see, even your justice system, when somebody is sentenced to death, they will give you time to appeal, until now everybody has decided, no, you actually committed the crime. So you see, you have to understand that people actually get lost because they don't trust the justice of God. And the people don't understand that the devil brings up arguments. Have you ever had those people who serve him? The arguments they bring. None of them argues against the power of God. They don't. The argument they make is against the justice of God. they question God's justice. So you mean all those millions of Muslims, what are going to hell? You shut up and follow God. Okay? Don't try to understand in it. You don't try to put God in your peanut brain. Now, I one time heard that Jay-Z saying, that God is unfair. Why does he forgive the devil and what? Now, the actual people, do you know the devil deceives people with those kind of arguments? Eh? That is not fair. That to human beings he forgives easily, but why doesn't he just forgive the devil? Then, you put your stupidity on a pedestal. And so many people actually see it and start arguing. So now you want to say, arguments. And those arguments can bring down your faith just like that. You will not exceed a certain place unless you learn how to put down arguments. Where you know, I know this, I'm not going to let anything I know. I know I'm supposed to be rich. That's what the Bible says. So either the Bible is lying or, where people say either God is telling the truth or he's not. Can he lie? No. So now this is what I'm going with. Now everything that is contrary, every argument that presents itself contrary to what the scripture says, I am going to bring it down without even trying to indulge it. You can indulge it in your head, and you indulge it and so on. And then people are actually winning the arguments. And the next thing, somebody whom was broke is now rich because he won his argument. And by the way, the minute you win the argument, the reality starts unfolding in your life. Okay? The minute you're convinced and the argument is settled, I'm rich, don't tell me anything. I don't want to know. That's what the scripture says. Now, at that point, that's when actually you start living the life that you have been arguing. Now, my God, you ask Victor here when he was trying to, divine healing. The arguments are there. But why don't you? But you can just take a pity and you get. Now, why don't you do this? But you see, but what if this thing escalates and the next thing you faint? What if this, man, the devil can bombard you with all these arguments. And now if you actually would see the spirit, like there are demons there just repeating the same thing. Well, and then they don't even say you are going to die. No. They say, I am going to die. They like to personalize you. So you find yourself, the only thing going through your mind, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. And now if you do not cast those demons out, and if you do not say, I will live and declare the goodness of the Lord, with long life will satisfy me, just stubbornly, just repeat what the scripture says. Eh? Now there you're actually using a sword on him, on those demons. But the one thing they have is they are very, very, very persistent. They will stick with you until now they realize now you've gone. You've won the argument. There is no point. But then even with Jesus, remember it says, the devil left him to come back for an opportune time. Isn't that what it says? Eh. So okay, for now you've won. But I will be back. Now if they are saying that to Jesus, how about to you? Now, you have to know that you have to be steady. Praise the Lord. Because you can overcome it, but it's going to be back. And then when it comes back, overcome it again. Until when? Until you're raptured. There is no time when he's going to say that, that one has gone. Let me know you will come back. He's the devil. Anyway, casting down all arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, those are those grand high things, grand, in a way also arguments, which present themselves as if they know what they, And you've ever seen those people who can talk to you and because everybody in their lane want to think that's all that matters. So if you find an academician, a professor, he will tell you, no, but now what is this you know? And when he talks properly, he can actually make you look like you're a fool. Yet he's the fool. Somebody told me there is some guy here who was known to be. There are people who are talented, who can, and the devil can use them properly. Now there's this guy who is a known Mufere. If I said him, all of you would know him. Now the guy who fed people abroad, what came here, he had a whole line of cars like this. So, but people are saying, what magic does this guy have? Then somebody said, just don't ever sit down and talk to him. He said, if you sit down and if you give him 30 minutes of your time, you're going to empty all your bank accounts. Like the guy has Karimi, Like he will put you in a place and what, and then suddenly you start seeing visions of yourself. And now it's a skill. So they told her, you know, that just never be there. Of course, also there are some guys who have that with girls. If you are going to avoid them, run away. Because if you dare get to them, you're finished. They will come with, and they are experts at it. And those tongues are anointed by the devil. The guy will surround you, and you have nowhere to go. Then afterwards, people say, but what happened to you? You say, I don't know. You are surrounded. So now, that high knowledge, somebody comes and presents themselves. Now, that guy, they told me he can tell people about investments. Like, you are going to be, man. Now, you just see man, yourself in a different stratosphere. And you say, this is the guy. Then say, now what must I do to be saved? Then he says, go and empty your bank account. And also those cars, go and mortgage them, bring the money here, and then wait. The next thing you see the guy having a nice life, and for you, you're broke. Now, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And I'll tell you this, there are so many things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Because sometimes the knowledge of God can sound very simplistic. It's not sophisticated, and it's not meant to be. You see, Paul says somewhere that you're taking us away from the simplicity of the gospel. Because when the gospel becomes complicated, it's no longer gospel, it's academics. Paul says you are trying to take us away from the simplicity of the gospel. Very simple. You see, now somebody comes and gets the simplicity of the gospel. And by the gospel, it just doesn't mean the gospel of salvation. It means the entirety of the gospel. And says, I am going to follow the principles of the kingdom of God. I'm going to behave like God is a king, because he is. I am going to revere him as a king. I'm going to walk in very simple, simple principles. And then you blow up. You become a big deal. Then somewhere along the way, and now here is where the temptation comes. You've become a big deal by following the simplicity of the gospel. Here it is. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in the anointing. The anointing that, because it's very, very simple. Now I'll tell you this. All the things that perhaps you would want, all of them just lined out there. There was a time I used to have a problem with sleeping when I wanted to. I would pray, and when I want to sleep, I can't sleep. Then when it's morning and the Muslim is shouting, then sleep comes. But then I have a whole day ahead of me. So it messed up my days. Then I said, but the scripture says, he gives sleep to his beloved. Amen? And it is there. In Psalms what? It is in vain for you to rise up, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For he gives his beloved sleep. Then I said, okay. So he gives his beloved sleep. Then I went to Ephesians 1 verse 6. Which says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. So I said, okay, I'm beloved. So sleep comes when I want. So I just said, if I want to sleep at 2, at 3, I'll just fall down and say, sleep come. And it comes. But now that was a big problem at some stage. Very big problem, by the way. Because I would have a morning meet, like these things where I go, I'm going to maybe it's a media in the morning. And I can't sleep until 5 a.m. And at 5 a.m. I'm supposed to be in the shower for a 7:30 show. So I end up not sleeping. Then the whole day, the programs have been messed up. Yet I actually wanted to sleep at 1, by which time by 6 I would be well rested and ready to go. So I said now. So my point is simplicity. It's just simple. The promises are all there. Everything. Now, let's go back to the second way. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, I'll tell you this. You cannot bring your actions in captivity until you bring your thoughts into captivity and your imaginations into captivity to the obedience of Christ, of the anointing. It starts with bringing your thoughts into captivity, because your thoughts, man, can be very wild. And you know that. But it's the imagination that is where the issue is. Because the thoughts, if they are not brought into captivity, they bring up an imagination of something that is negative. I'll give you an example again of if you are believing for healing. Now, of course, you're still sick, but you're thanking God for healing and so on. And now that's how it is. Really? That's just the way it is. You understand? You will be still sick when you are thanking God for healing. That's how it is. And you can decide to give up and lose the argument, or you can decide to stick there. And you will never, 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 like, die. Somehow God makes sure you don't die, even if you are doing it wrong. Eh? He will somehow have a way of, you know. And then you realize that he cannot, because he sees you trying. You understand? Eh? Now the devil will tell you, hey, you're going to die. Now you will not. God will make sure you don't, even when you are not doing the right thing. Eh? Because he sees you trying, and he knows he wants you to succeed, he will either do something or somehow, I know. You see? Eh? Unless, like, you really, really are. But as long as you're trying to walk by faith, God will protect you, because he wants you to do it. Just like you would protect a child whom you know is trying something. Anyhow, so now the thought comes, you're going to die. You're going to die. Now, if you don't bring that thought into captivity to the knowledge, to the obedience of Christ, in other words, you hear you're going to die, you say, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my goodness. Then you hear, you're going to what? No, you have another scripture for it. Now that's an argument, and you're winning it as long as you continue quoting scripture. Now you might not even quote the scripture and be sure about it. You can quote the scripture when you're still shaky, but that's okay. Just quote it. You see, that is not brought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. The next thing that comes, go to the next verse, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Okay, first go back to the previous verse. Go to King James. I think that's where it says imagination. Casting down imaginations. Now, until you learn how to speak yourself into an imagination, you've not learned anything. Amen? Have you seen people whom you can direct and tell them, come, like directing them to this office, and then they call you after every 2 minutes? And yet some others, you direct them once and they are at the gate. Do you know why? These ones who are quick use their imagination. I'll give you an example. When you're trying to memorize something, let's say like a number. If you tell me a number, 077 what, father, like I will not remember it. But if I write it down and I capture it in my head as a picture, not as a number, as a picture, I see the picture, I'll remember it even a year from now. Because pictures are so powerful. Now, when somebody is telling you, katigenda, chama wano kumuvule, what? When somebody is trying to direct me, my imagination is working. Then I ask him, like, how long is that distance? He says, like 5 minutes drive. I say, okay, 5 minutes drive. Then there is a mufene, then I branch. I'm seeing it. You see, there's a time somebody, Pastor, you stay somewhere down there in Georgia. He directed me, and everybody had been calling him because there were so many people who were coming to his home. Once, the next thing, I was at the gate. He said, Because when he was talking, I was seeing pictures. Now, that is where the challenge is. When people read the Bible and they do not see pictures, then the Bible just becomes words. You see, eh? It is supposed to create. Now, and this is so powerful, because if you read anything and it does not create pictures, it's because you're not interested in it, really. You remember when you used to read those romance books and even your body starts responding to words? Eh? It's because you are putting pictures. You understand? Mirrors and but you see, eh? Because you're interested, somebody says, then what, then this one, then what, then what, then you're like, oh. But when you're reading the Bible, you're distant. It's as if it's something distant, as if it's something which happened. Mubudebuli. You know the way they would say in the Catholics. Mubudebuli. Yesu na gamba ba igizwa. Now, you're really, really not connected to it. Eh? Now, when I learned how to get pictures of the what, I imagined. I remember I read the story of Jehoshaphat and how he was attacked. And how he went and said, God, we are powerless to take over these people. Now I start thinking. Sometimes, by the way, let me be honest with you. That's why I can be very fearless. Because I put myself in the position of King Hezekiah, who was attacked by Sennacherib. And I don't just read the story. I imagine, what if I was the one? And there are all these men who are looking at you. They are scared. They are going to be killed. Their wives are going to be taken by the opposite. And you're there just telling them about God. You see, eh? They can even stone you. And now, for them, if they lose, they die. And their children are left slaves. And their wives are taken and distributed among the soldiers. Now imagine if the stakes were that high for you. Would you really believe God? So I'm trying to think that, this guy is Jehoshaphat. The stakes are so high, you know what is going to happen. The king, the first thing they do, they take out your eyes. That's what is facing you there, if God does not do something. The first thing they do, they get your eyes, take them out. Then they humiliate you in all sorts of ways. If you're lucky, they kill you. If you're unlucky, they keep you there as some kind of trophy where they come and, you know, look at you and say, this was once a king. But now, in our day, what is at stake is you're going to be thrown out of your house. You're not going to die. Nobody's going to take out your eyes. No one is going to castrate you. But somehow, getting yourself to a place to believe God is so difficult when the stakes are not as high as those people. So when I would read those people, I'd say, man, these are brave people. Then the word of the Lord comes through one of them and says, thus says the Lord, just go praise me. Go to the battlefield with praise singers. But you understand how stupid that is. Now, today you would ask, but what if the Lord didn't speak to him? Then you create an argument and you lose it. Then you say, at least let us go down fighting. You see, eh? And you say, let's go down what? And you go down. Imagine somebody just comes and says, somebody wakes up, oh, that says the Lord, be calm. An army of 185,000 people has attacked you. Just praise the Lord. What? But those people had faith. That's why they're in the Bible. And then they listen to that. And then they praise God. And then they go in praise. And then they get victory. And it's only afterwards that people understand that that was something powerful. But in the midst of it, having faith to actually believe God for something. Now, what does it take? It takes, first of all, having a reference point where God has done it before. And he makes sure everybody has that, where you know something. You were supposed to go down at some stage and God pulled something off. And then you know, but if God pulled it off there, he's going to do it again. You understand? So you have that reference point. Then you have a scripture. Then you have a confession. You don't give up your confession. As it says, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Do not give up your confession. You have a confession. And your confession is giving you an imagination that is contrary to all the circumstances that are around you. Your imagination is in a different place. Amen? Praise the Lord. For instance, you are in Luzira, but your imagination is in State House. But now, you understand? Eh? Now, if you never get to that place, you'll never understand how these things work. Because you can actually refuse to be in any, like, I am here, but this is not where I am. I am in another place. And you kule miracle. And now, the enemy wants to bring you down to where you are, but you're broke. You're those are yours. Eh? Now, I am in State House. Praise the Lord. Now I'm telling you one thing. The reason I talk very confidently is because there was a time I was not confident. But the lockdown, every single day I was imagining one thing only. Now I am already there. I'm already thinking past there. I'm already thinking about the changes I'm going to make. Yeah? But it took me, you remember those months of the toughest lockdown, where I not even leave home, not even seven, no curfew, just stay home. So I would be there meditating. Sleep, wake up, meditate, sleep, wake up, dream, sleep, wake up, what? Until man, something becomes so sure. Now, if it does like that, I am telling you, as the scripture says in Genesis about the Tower of Babel, nothing can stop them from getting there. Amen? Now, nothing can happen to you when your imagination is not with you. For instance, you cannot die when your imagination is not with you. And by the way, even dying itself, you have to accept to die. Like if you refuse to die, you can't die. Now, I used to think that doctrinally. Until some gentleman who was one of us told me that he's a gynecologist. So he's bringing a lady to birth and she's losing a lot of blood. And now even the monitor started going very slow. And clearly the heart is leaving her. Then she said that I can see my mother in Uganda. That I can see my mother who died. That I can see my mother here, hey, mama. What? Then he told her that Mugambe mama genda sigenda kujakati. And then she shouted those words. Mommy, go away, I'm not coming now, very loudly. As soon as she said that, the thing went back, tee, 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 and the heart came back. And now she's there, no more. But you see, even it comes as a suggestion. Now that is science versus spirituality. Because as soon as she decided I'm not going to die, now you see the devil is trying to create nostalgia. Oh, Bambi mama, what? Kumbe, you're dying. And by the time you realize, you've passed on to the other world. Now you'll bring somebody, hey, mama, I'm seeing my grand, you used to love me very much. What? I remember once somebody came here to me like that. Her mother died and she was so sad and what? I told her, man, you're going to follow her. Leave her alone, she's dead. Then she had even started having dreams of her mother coming and then they have a nice time. I said, you don't want to leave. Like, cut her off, she's dead. Dead, gone. Otherwise, the devil will create a romance, what, a nice, and the next thing you die. And so many people have died like that, by the way. So now here, this one, mama, go, I don't want you, I don't want, I'm not coming now. Then immediately, the heart which was dying comes back. This one was told to me by a doctor, a gynecologist. The one who was there, I'm not telling a story, the one who was actually in the process of doing that. And suddenly, the monitor responds to her decision that I don't want to die now. So, anything. Now, it says casting down imaginations. Now, man, and the devil can be so smart at creating imaginations of. And for instance, and now here is where the problem comes. You're sick, you're trying to get healing, you're repeating the word of God, but it has not yet gotten into your imagination. Amen? It hasn't gotten into your imagination. So, your imagination is still seeing yourself in a certain way. Let's say you have diabetes. Now your imagination has got to be you having ice cream, a bowl of ice cream, even if you're not yet there. But your imagination has to see a place where you're healed. Now that's where your faith becomes active. Without it, your faith is not active whatsoever. If you're still seeing yourself old and taking chai mukaru without sugar, then your faith has not yet been what? Activated. You have to see yourself. Right now I cannot take ice cream. But in your imagination, you're sitting in front of a whole bowl of it, and man, you're just scooping. And what? Now you're getting ready to be healed. Praise the Lord. Now your faith becomes effective through imagination. Without that, you are deceiving yourself. And it is so powerful that, you remember when I told you the story of what? The laws of faith. The story which you people made fun about, because I said it so many times, that even one day Troy acted it here on my birthday. The one of what? Timing belt. But you don't know how that story, how that event taught me everything I needed to know about faith. Timing belt. Praise the Lord. Most of you know it. How many of you don't know the story? Very few. Okay. But when you understand that faith operates by law, like I told you in the last word of the week. And I want you to come back with testimonies. The reason I didn't give this week is because some of you just glaze over it and move on. Next week, next. You see, I want you to actually take time, because when your imagination, your thoughts and your words and your imagination are together, anything can manifest anything. You understand? The way that gentleman who was driving me to Mbarara started by saying, but why do you like moving at night? Because it was 10:30 and we're still at Java's. I was taking my latte and what? You know, life was good. We were going to Mbarara. The Kwanjura was the next day. But I didn't like moving where it's going to take you 3 hours to just leave town and get on the highway. So I said, let these commuters all go home and sleep. And I save I save on the amount of time I have to. You know how going to Mbarara can be. Eh? Now, that was even before the expressway, Northern Bypass. Now, that time you had to go through Ndeba, Wate. By the time you even reach Chengeda, you've already consumed like 3 hours before you even started the journey. So, you know, I said, let these guys go home and what? And sleep. So I sat there, we jazzed. So at 11, we set off, going to Mbarara. Ah, comfortable. Ooh, blazed through. Suddenly, we're on Mbarara Road and we are going. Then they said, but you, why do you like driving at night? Eh? I said, what's wrong? We are going to arrive. He said, no, something can happen. I said, something like what? Then he said, like the timing belt can break. And when the timing belt breaks, do you know what the timing belt does? I said, no, I don't know. Then he starts teaching me what the timing belt does. You know, it's the one which gets the whatever, the engine, over what, and so on. It's just a belt, but if it breaks, you're stranded. You're going to spend the night on the road. I said, hey, okay, that's good. Then the man, by the time we reached Masaka, the man had told me like 20 stories about people whose timing belts had broken. 20, no jokes. Like, remember even there's some friend of mine who used to work in the bank, also, remember, timing belt broke. You remember the other person? Also, timing belt broke. You remember the other person? Timing belt broke. Now, me, I didn't know what he was doing. If I'd known what I know now, I would have told him, shut up. Let's talk about which hotel we are going to sleep in Mbarara. So the guy kept on telling him, timing belt, timing. Then I said, but what? Why are you? He said, Nzati nkubudira. You know timing belt? What? So I'm the one driving, so we go. So we pass Masaka, I think around that place called, where? Chazang. I'm driving, suddenly the car comes to a halt. So I just use the momentum to take it to the side and park it. Got out of the car, and the guy went and opened the boot, and guess what? Now, he had fulfilled all the laws of faith to make something happen. Now, I used that to know if it can be used for bad, it can be used for good. He spoke, he imagined, he believed, he saw, and it manifested. All in a space of about 3 hours. Praise the Lord. Now, if you got those laws and started manifesting a house or something you really want, and you followed those laws, honestly, if there is no way my timing belt would have broken because I didn't know about it. It has to go after the laws of faith. So the guy came and said, Olaba, Nagambi. Timing belt. I was like, man, we spent the night. Now, we had to push the car because we were in a dark place. We couldn't be in there. So we had to push the car up a hill, what, until we go to some semi-trading center. And we parked the car there when we were sweating and tired, and we spent the night in the car. Now, the following day, I started thinking about it and saying, what are the odds? What are you talking about? What are you thinking about? What are you imagining? What arguments, what imaginations do you have in your head? That is going to be the template of your life. Praise the Lord. That's going to be the template of your life. Now, when I got to know that, man, if you do not spend at least 1 hour building some imaginations, like just daydreaming, you see, just imagining, when I reach this place, I'm going to, this is what I'm going to do, this is what, man, when I get married, I want us to go to Mauritius, I want us to go where, yeah, but you're still single, yeah, I know, but when I get married, and now you're not just talking. You're actually on a beach in Mauritius in your head, on some beach with your husband, eating, I don't know what, seafood. Seafood, I don't know what. Now you think that, man, I'm telling you people, like if you knew how much the devil wants your imagination, you would not give it to him. It's just that simple, by the way. You would never dare give it to him if you knew how much he wants it. So now you're there on some beach somewhere, but you're in reality you're somewhere in, you know, here in Kampala in some slum. And like if you knew that if you can only imagine, the work of taking you from where you are to where you're imagining is not yours, it is God's duty. That's all he wants you to do. Just imagine. Like every cigar debi murekere. You understand? After that, you don't need to do anything else. Just keep your imagination there, positive, seeing wonderful things now, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, go to the next verse. Then it says, and having in a readiness to revenge on all disobedience. Praise the Lord. Do you know revenging? Revenging means that now you've arrived. You're revenging on this time when you broke. You understand? Now you've gotten healed of diabetes. So you revenge. But with your bowl of... That's what it means, revenge. Because you have to impose and show that, devil, you lost. I am here. I have arrived. You thought I was in a Mzigo, now I'm in a mansion, and you are a loser. Now, I was once broke, now I'm rich, you're a loser. So that you're revenging and saying, So now, when you sit in that wonderful, you're revenging and saying, my, those days of poverty, now I'm revenging. It says, when your obedience is fulfilled, okay? When you have brought everything to the obedience of the truth of God, which says that you're rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Okay? It says you're what? Rich. But the reality might not be that. But one day you're going to revenge. Okay? And say, man, I struggled. I struggled. Have you ever seen people who have been through a lot and they sit and, man, they just, you know, some of them in a bragging way. But for you, not in a bragging way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I'm telling you, if you go to Ephesians chapter 4, start from verse 22. Now, go to New King James. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Now, here is the thing. If every argument that you lose sets you up for losing another argument. Do you know that? Do you know that? Unless you continue pursuing. If you try something in the spirit or by faith and it doesn't work out and you say, man, me, I've given up. You've seen people who say that. There's a gentleman who used to be my pastor. He used to have a powerful testimony. He would say that one day he prayed for somebody who had leukemia and the person got healed. And it was a powerful testimony, you know, leukemia. Now, the next thing he's saying, Now you know he has backslidden. Like that's backsliding. Yet he prayed for somebody who lived, who would not have lived. Because of Abasawo, they don't have the magezi for leukemia yet. You understand? But he started someplace. Now if you don't continue winning another argument and another one and another one, you end up losing, losing, losing. The next thing, you become a certified loser. Every argument you lose, even you lose interest even in trying now. You see, So now, when you try to believe for divine health, it doesn't work, try again. You'll eventually win that argument. And when you win it, now you'll say, okay, now that I have seen I won it for divine health, now I am going to use it for divine prosperity. You understand? And now you're confident. You say, now I know it works. And then when you attack prosperity, like it is much easier, you are ready with all your points. The devil brings this, you say, you're lying, there is this. Then he brings this, you say, Onsanze Ndaba, there is this. Then what? Then he loses the argument. And the next thing, you've won that one also. Then after that, you go for another one. And then for another one. And you become, now it says, the old man grows more and more corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Now that's how it is. You are either going in this direction or you're going in the other direction. There is no stagnation here. If you connect to the old man who feels that you have to pray and God is going to do something and you have to wait on God to do things which you already did. Like you're childish, you're a baby, you're going to even become a worse baby than you already are. But if you know that God already did everything he's ever going to do for you, you don't owe him anything. So now you know it is up to me. I have to believe his word. He sent his son to make sure that everything that I need, I have. Now it is up to me.
to win these arguments about ABC. Then you start growing. Now that's the point at which you start growing. And you win small arguments. I remember I knew how I would start getting a cough. Eh? So I would feel a lump in my throat. Then I know now I'm going to get a cough. So I start saying now where, until I said, let me first win this argument. So now when the lump came, I did what I told you to do. You cough in the name of Jesus. I command you to depart and go. The lamp stayed there 1, 2, 3 days. I forgot about it and went on with my business. Until after about 5 days, the lamp went, there was no cough. Same as flu, same as everything else. You see, eh? Now, I make sure I'm in the process of winning arguments because I could have taken azithromycin, which is what I used to do. As soon as I feel the lamp, before the cough even manifests, I would go for what? Azithromycin, or whatever it is called. Eh? Some of those things have demonic names. Eh? So I would go for that thing. And I swallow. And then the cough would hardly come. I would just cough a little. Then it's in the process of healing. Now I cannot allow that. I moved on from that. Nothing. Not a single pill in this body. Not even one. The other day I woke up with a throbbing headache. I rebuked it to go. Do you know how long it took? Like 8 hours. If I'd taken a headache in 10 minutes, I would be okay. I said, no, I'm not going to let that in. Now, you might say, that is extreme. Don't try these things at home. But try them. Because I'm telling you, it goes, now I'll tell you this. Remember I told you about my daughter who says she can't stand medicine. Sickness is yuck, is from the devil. Eh? Now she was hammered. Got wounds all over, what? She could not. Now, temperature very high. Then, you know now my wife was tempted. Why don't I just give her that rector thing? Eh? And at least the temperature goes down, the others we can handle. She went and gave her the rector thing. The temperature went higher. Now God is trying to show you something. It went higher. So now he takes away the option of a kakerenda. You've tried it, it hasn't worked. So now I was out of Kampala. So we got on the phone. And I rebuked the temperature and rebuked that sickness. And I said, now forget about it, put her to sleep. Then, of course, you know, puts her to sleep. Then she goes and touches. Then after some time, she goes and touches. And like, you know, everyone has to go through this test. But then, because we had been through this, and the Lord had, she had been walking with the Lord through this, then she had a dream. And in the dream, she had gone back to P7. And she was sitting P7. And they told her, what are you doing here sitting P7? Then she was studying, as if studying to sit P7. Then somebody told her that, you don't need to study. You just go back to your old notes and read those ones and you'll pass. So, in other words, the Lord was telling her, you know what to do. You've done it before. Do the same thing. But you know, of course, like when it comes to children and how people panic. But eventually, the same thing. But you know, it's tight. I'll be honest with you. But when you understand that after I pass this, I am never going back to this level. If I fail this, I'm going to have to redo this exam. Then you can harden a bit. And the devil will always come for your children because for you, you can vumulia. But when it comes to your children, man, you become very weak. There's a certain weakness that that invades a parent. Well, you see, now, I cannot eat. She's taking smoothies. What? And you're saying, thank you, Lord, for our healing. Thank you, Lord, for our healing. Thank you, Lord, for our healing. Now she's here playing. This was just like a few days ago. Now she's here playing. No sickness, no what? All is okay. Praise the Lord. Now I want us to get to a point where we actually put ourselves in this place. There is the old man, then there is the new man. Those two people are arguing with one another. Okay. Now, there was a story of a man who was telling a child something, and he told the child, you know, there are two wolves fighting in your life. There is the good wolf and the bad wolf. and they are all fighting to take control of your life. Then the child asks, so which wolf wins? Then the father answered, the wolf that you feed is the one that wins. If you feed your carnality, it will win. And this truth will be at a distance. You can see it at a distance. Yeah, God can bless people, but from there, you see, eh? And the devil will topple you with very stupid arguments. Very stupid arguments. Yeah, these men of God take advantage. What? Take advantage of people, and that's enough. He doesn't even have to quote any scripture. At least let him humor you enough to quote a scripture. Although he quotes it in what? Overturned way. But some of you don't even need a scripture. You just put some emotional argument on you, eh? And see, you go. You're finished. And yet, actually, if you get one scripture and keep on repeating, you win that argument. So they say that the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Okay? Then he says that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, every victory that you get renews the spirit of your mind. Not, you know, your mind, there is the carnal mind which you have, which is very argumentative. And you know that. Eh? Very, very argumentative. It wants to be in a position where it knows everything. It knows what you should do, what you shouldn't do. And, you know, and it is there. Then there is the spirit of your mind. Okay? Your mind, but which is spiritual, which really is like your consciousness or whatever. Not your spirit, but the spirit of your mind. Now, these two are arguing. This is the good wolf, the bad wolf. This one is saying, but the scripture says this, and God cannot lie. So that is the truth. So believe it for yourself. Apply it in your life. Okay? The scripture says that let the whole world be liar, but God be what? True. Now, so your wallet is a liar if it does not respond to what the word of God says that you're rich. Amen? Amen? I'm telling you, I have sat down and told my body, the word of God says this, and God is true. So you are lying. I cannot be sick unless God is a liar, and he's not. So you're the one who is lying, and I have no place of lies in my body. So you sickness, get out right now. I have no place for lies. Now, and you talk knowing this is what the word of God says, and the word of God is true. Anything that is contrary is a lie. Praise the Lord. Now, then I continue trying to win my argument. Continue trying to speak the word of God to any contradiction. Continue trying to lift myself up in the word of God until eventually I start seeing. Sometimes the argument might not be won immediately. I want you to know this. Sometimes you grow into it, especially like even all things, but I'll say even things like to do with finances. When I started being convinced that I am blessed and I cannot be broke, like the manifestation of it takes some time, okay? But at every one time, you're absolutely sure of it. There is no time when you doubt it because you already won the argument. But the manifestation can come, first of all, in the tens of thousands, then the hundreds of thousands, then in the millions, like the manifest. But it's the other thing which you believed. And as long as you hold fast onto it, it will get even to the billions. Like, there is no stopping it. I want you to know that the God we serve is not limited. The only limitation is your heart and what you are capable of believing. Everything else works itself out after that. And says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put off the old man with all his lusts, who is trying to push you back to be a normal human being, a natural human being, who has to toil so hard for something so small, who has to save money for... Somebody, I remember watching some of those men of God, and they were talking about a man who was saving money to buy a car at $50,000. $50,000. Then they were laughing and laughing. And saying, $50,000, how long are you going to save to get $50,000? Then they laughed and laughed. And now the reason they are laughing is because they know there is a better way. But for them, they have been convinced about it. But this other man still is the old man with all his things. Amen? The old man with all his glory to God. Now, when you get into the new man, you know, for instance, I know when I want something, anything, I just get a tenth I get usually a seed, minimum a tenth of that thing. And I don't look for the money to buy that thing. I look for the seed for it. And when I sow, I get it. And there are people here whom I know who already know that. Somebody told me I want a house. So they get the value and say, this is what I'm going to sow. Now, when you're sure of that, you don't have to go the long way. God has prepared an easier way. You will save until the rapture. And you'll even be raptured when your account has money. And it's potato. And then you'll be in heaven thinking, at least if I had eaten. At least if I had eaten the money. Now, of course, if you think in the way of the world, you say, what? Why? He's just saying that because he wants people to sow into him. Don't sow into me. Okay, if you want to, you can. But the point is, whether you sow or not, I will be fine. Praise the Lord. Now, some of you are having serious arguments here now, but I'm ending now. And be renewed in this thing. You're arguing. Your mind, this one is pulling this side, there, and pulling there. Just go and repeat the word of God. Meditate on it. Make sure it takes over your imagination. Start seeing things. Start seeing where you want to be and see if it will not work. Amen? Okay. And then he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The next verse. And then he says, verse 24. And says, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God. Okay? The new man. The new man knows that there is an easier way to get what you want, which I'm teaching you right now. Okay? Number one, the power of imagination. Man, just don't forget that. Number two, don't allow to lose an argument with the devil in your mind. Like win the argument. When you win the argument, we shall see it in your life. There are some of you who are one argument away from a house of your own. And you have to make sure you win that argument. When you win it, it will manifest. I'm telling you. So where will I get the money? You're asking that question because you're still in argument phase. The day you get out of argument phase, you will not ask that question. Amen? Because you will see it. And how is it coming? That's up to God. Me, I'm seeing it. Praise the Lord. When people are in argument phase, like so many of you, everything that he said has to go through a certain sieve of carnality and what. And like you really see people looking at you saying, but man, do you know my situation? You have to overcome those things. Like I told you last time, and I'm ending with this. If people knew, if you only knew, number one, you are in a dilemma. You have debts, you have rent to pay, you have school fees to pay, you have this to pay, you have this as well, and then you get some kamani. And if you only knew that, just like Jesus stood at the offering, he's still standing over you saying, let's see how you're going to handle this. I'm telling you I'm telling you what I did. I've told you stories. He's still standing, saying, let's see what you're going to do. Then you, when you get it, you choose to put him first. And then you even do it with, you know, gladness of heart. And then you gladly choose to put him first. I'm telling you, the next time you get a kamane, there will be no rent, there will be no, you will have overcome those things. Amen? I've been in those situations. I've even seen people who are there. Like, rent has become rent. There's some guy whom I know. Rent had become such an issue. Big issue. He got 3 months' rent, which they were kubanjaring him. Now, this is really, really deadly thing, stuff. Pay arrears or leave. He got money. He sold it. That was the last time. Okay, let me even talk about myself. I've told you about rent. I used to struggle with rent of 800K. Now I pay rent of thousands of dollars a month. But it doesn't even scratch me. I don't even feel it. There is a process. God is no respecter of persons. Amen? He is no respecter of persons. I'm telling you, it does not even do what? Scratch me. And not only that, I also pay rent for so many people who are in trouble. They come to me, yeah, they are, I pay. I overcame rent, okay? So much that it's not even for me, for other people. And not just one or two, like five. I'm telling you, like there is a path. to that place, but you have to believe. You have to win the argument of now, but if I give this, what about now, what about the debt? What? I told you I had debts, and I felt led to give 10 million. I just sold some thing, and I had some money. And I felt led to give 10 million. I did. And that opened up something, man, which I'm still eating off from up to now. Amen? Now, you know that God really, if you knew how much is in a hurry to get you out of survival mode to thriving, you'd know that you have to do something. Eh? Amen? And now, the one thing that thing did to me is it broke all fear. Because the fear, anything that you fear has control over you. I used to fear rent of 800K a month. Oh, it was such a big fear. Until I said, and I just got it and went and sold it. The fear disappeared and the lack disappeared. From 800K to like, I don't know, almost, I think 10 times that. Anyway, I'm telling you this to tell you that the financial arguments in your mind, win them. The reason I am at the level I am is because I won those arguments. I no longer fear. I don't have a problem getting all the money I have and giving it if I feel led. There is no fear whatsoever. I can be there and I don't have a single coin, and there is no fear whatsoever. And it will come. The world has to sort itself and make sure I have money. Now, when you still have fear, that is, this is a kasua. That is Sigaza kasua. You are going to you live your life in a pot. Inside the pot, like as if the Nigerians have kulogad you. Over in a chupa. But now, there might be failures along the way. I promise you there are failures around the way. First time I tried it, I gave seed to wrong ground. It hammered me. And so on and so forth. But I was determined to make this thing come to pass. I was determined to win the argument. So now when somebody asks me, I can talk to them authoritatively, not as somebody who has just heard, okay? But as somebody who has experienced, praise the Lord. Amen. So who is ready to win the argument? Eh? Win the argument. Turn to your neighbor and say, win the argument. Yeah? Say it again. Yeah. And get out of argument phase. Come into the place of faith where now you're confident out of argument phase. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
That was The Watchman. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter, at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.